This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
WGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
All right, we got a lot of talking about stuff today. We're going on here today, 855-839-1210, talking about a lot of stuff. We got a lot of stuff talking about. Well, welcome back to the show. 855-839-1210 is the number on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Turning our attention to some local stories, New Jersey Democrats are moving forward with this ridiculous gun bill in the state assembly, but they're backing down from an abortion ballot question. So I'm going to get into that with you as well. But New Jersey's tough new concealed carry gun proposal moves closer to law after fierce debate at the state house. And I'll tell you, some of the guys, including one of the state assemblymen standing up and calling another an a-hole on microphone, really proves the point of what happened here. It passed in the Democrat-controlled legislature 42-29. No Republican votes for the measure. And this bill is going to be one of the most restrictive concealed carry gun bills in the country. My hope is that it will be struck down by the United States Supreme Court. It will require gun owners in New Jersey seeking to obtain a carry permit to purchase liability insurance and take training courses, while prohibiting people from carrying firearms in a wide range of sensitive places, including schools, public parks, courthouses, and bars. Now, remember, when the United States Supreme Court ruled in June to invalidate the New York concealed carry law, King Philip the Unaccountable Murphy came out and said, New Jersey, we're going to bust your chops and make it so incredibly impossible to have a gun. And that's what he did. And he came out and he pushed this forward. And this guy, this jerk, Joe Danielson, a main sponsor of the bill, says guns have been part of my life, my whole life, but I'm a son, a brother, a husband, and a father. And that is why this issue is so important that I felt the need to sponsor this legislation. The most important public safety measures in the state's recent history. A bill that strikes the important balance between respecting and protecting people's Second Amendment rights. No, it doesn't. You know what it does? It also makes it much more dangerous to be in these places like parks and courthouses, certain office buildings, and bars as well. Because bad guys, they don't follow those laws, just like they don't follow the laws against gun laws, and they don't follow the laws against, you know, killing people and committing crimes as well. The amendments added medical offices and places where ballots are stored to the list of locations where guns would be prohibited in New Jersey, as well as allowing retired police officers to renew their concealed carry permits every 2 years instead of each year. Now, think about this. If you got to go to the doctor and you want to conceal carry and protect yourself, the minute you walk into that doctor's office, you are breaking the law. Why? What are you going to do? Shoot your doctor if he gives you a bad diagnosis? Sir, your cholesterol's high. Oh, yeah? And just blow him out. That'll show you, doc. Don't give me a terminal diagnosis. I got your terminal diagnosis right here. I mean, it's so dumb. We cannot wait for the loss of lives to take action. Guns are rarely used in self-defense. When they do, they cause harm to innocent bystanders, said one of these wacko Democrats. Now, my buddy Hal Wirtz, who's actually unfortunately retiring from the state assembly, which is very sad because he's a great legislator, he said this is a solution looking for a problem. The real problem is the criminal, the bad guys and bad gals. But no, we don't want to target them. We want to target the most law-abiding citizens who are well-trained and go through these background checks. And it's just like I said since day one, the real goal among many of you, quite frankly, is to take the guns away. The exchange got even more heated after that, with many Republicans saying the bill violates the Second Amendment. Assemblyman Brian Bergen argued the proposal directly contradicts the Supreme Court's ruling. Then he asked the sponsor of the bill to define a phrase in the measure that says it would be a crime to knowingly carry a gun into safe spaces unless it's a brief incidental entry onto property. He said, I think you should consult an attorney or the dictionary. I'm not going to take these hypothetical creative scenarios. The Republican shot back and said, this is the lunacy, the stupidity, quite frankly, of the approach you take. And then he said, God, he's such an a-hole on a hot mic. And he said, I meant it. I said it and I meant it. Assemblyman Eric Peterson, good friend of mine, great friend of the show, called the bill nothing more than a legislative insurrection against our Constitution. That's a threat to our democracy, Peterson added, loudly arguing Democrats have a history of taking away our constitutional rights. Assemblywoman Beth Sawyer, who you heard on today with Dom Giordano, said the bill is offensive and argued it would leave people unarmed in the face of danger. You've got to see the blood on your hands as people are getting killed, she said. We should be able to protect ourselves. Assembly Minority Leader John DeMeo painted the proposal as confusing, saying it appears to be designed to trip people up. And it is. And why should you not be able to defend yourself at your doctor's office, in a public park, in a house of worship, in a school, or any of these other restricted, sensitive places, places where there are ballots, for example? Why can't you, when you go to vote, to exercise? I mean, think of the irony of this. You're going to exercise your constitutional right to vote, and you can't carry a gun, which is a constitutional protected right, into a voting booth to cast your ballot, which is a constitutionally protected right. And the Democrats will scream if you want to, if you make somebody show voter ID, that you're disenfranchising them from exercising their constitutional rights, as they literally stand up and say, we will not let you exercise your constitutional right in a polling place. Why can't I have a gun in a park, out of curiosity? Me and my family are there, and there's a shooting of some sort, a gangbanger, if somebody tries to kidnap my child, something like that. Why can't I have a gun to be able to protect myself and my family? Why can't I? You think the criminals, it's just like when Jim Kenney of Philadelphia, the mayor of Philadelphia, came out with that stupid executive order banning guns in places of recreation. And I said the same thing. I said, wow, you know, those gangbangers, they have no respect for the law, but they all really do respect executive orders. So they'll definitely follow the executive order. And the gangbangers will definitely stay away from the parks now that the mayor signed the executive order. I mean, sure, they'll put a cap in somebody's ass, even though it's against the law. But when it comes to violating an executive order, that is where they draw the line. But nevertheless, the measure passed. And of course it passed, because the Democrats are insane and they hate the Second Amendment and they do not believe it's an actual right. They don't believe it. They believe it's fake. They believe it doesn't belong in the United States Constitution. Abortion, which is never mentioned in the Constitution of the United States of America, a point that the United States Supreme Court made in the Dobbs case, with that, they will codify that into law and stand up and scream that people are being disenfranchised from exercising their constitutional right to an abortion. The Second Amendment, which is literally the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution, Democrats do not recognize that as an actual right. They choose to ignore it. They choose to pretend it's not there. And they do everything they possibly can to make law-abiding citizens criminals, because that's what this bill is going to do. Somebody's going to make a mistake and forget that they're carrying and go see their doctor. Somebody's going to make a mistake and forget they're carrying and pick up their kid from school. Some law-abiding citizen who means no harm to anybody is going to make an honest mistake after they picked up their dry cleaning and drove to a park because they wanted to enjoy nature, walk around the park and forget that they're carrying, and they're going to go to prison. Does that seem okay to you? Meanwhile, whatever criminal decides that they're going to break the law in any of those places, they'll get a slap on the wrist, because this is the times in which we live right now. So bravo to the Republicans for standing up. Bravo for them for fighting this, and bravo for saying no. But as long as we have the insanity of the Democrat control, they're going to continue to defy the Supreme Court. And that's the other piece of this, too. In June, the United States Supreme Court said a state cannot make these restrictions overly restrictive when it comes to a concealed carry gun. Your right to enjoy the Second Amendment extends beyond the home. This is what the court said. And the effort by New York State to make it so restrictive was unconstitutional. So the blue states turn around and say, okay, well, we'll let you carry it outside your home, but you can't carry it to these places. And then they create a whole list of places that average everyday Americans enjoy every day. And they say you can't carry it there, and also there, and there, and that place as well. It's just like when that woman, Shanine Allen, years ago, drove from Philadelphia to Atlantic City. And she got stopped and was arrested and was facing 5 years in prison for being a legal gun owner in Philadelphia with a permit. But she forgot that she had her gun with her and she was facing prison time till she was pardoned by Governor Chris Christie at the time. But she wasn't a criminal, but they wanted to make her a criminal to prove a point because they hate guns. They hate guns. And so they want the idea to be that the average law-abiding citizen who has a concealed carry gun in New Jersey, a concealed carry permit, will just say it's not worth it and never leave the house with a gun. Which means then, of course, that no one will be there to defend people from the criminals if there's not a cop around. And there's an old saying in life, you know, there's never a cop around when you need one. Sadly, sometimes what we find, most of the time guns are used in this country, they're used in the course of a good person stopping a bad person with a gun. But that's not something the media ever talks about. They try to hide those numbers from you. As it goes against the narrative that guns are the problem. As long as we have Democrat control of the media and Democrat control of the legislatures in places like New Jersey, it will always go with the gun violence crisis. They won't talk about the fact that the people that are using guns are criminals, and it's a criminal crisis. Guns don't just come to life like in the movie Cars. They don't just start talking. They don't just start shooting. It takes a human being to operate them. Believe me, I've seen enough kid movies in my day to know inanimate objects are only left to the movies. There might be a cute talking gun in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but it's only a cartoon. Doesn't happen in real life. Boy, that Jessica Rabbit was smoking, huh? Back in the day. I made the mistake of watching that movie with my kids, by the way, and boy, Bridget was not happy with me. You guys ever see that movie?
Of course.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yeah.
Totally inappropriate for children. Other than the fact that it's a cartoon, there is nothing kid-friendly about that movie. My son even said to me, he goes, Dad, why is the baby smoking a cigar? I said, I know, pal. I know. And Jessica Rabbit, who's got those gigantic rabbit ears.
Bonk.
And she says, I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way. That's her famous line.
Yeah.
There is nothing appropriate in that movie for kids.
Maybe it's how the times have changed. I don't know.
And it's even rated PG. It actually should be PG-13 or probably X.
Times have changed.
You're right. They have. No doubt.
Is it meant to be a kid's movie?
I mean, when I was a kid, I saw it.
Yeah.
Oh.
I saw Who Framed Roger Rabbit as a kid. I loved it. But it was great. And parents loved it at the time because they could take their kids to a movie that they could also enjoy. A lot of times you take your kids to cartoon movies and you want to, you know, I mean, kill yourself, quite frankly. Maybe went a little extreme there. You may want to, you know, eat so much popcorn that you explode. How about that?
Is
that
God, another way of Disney movie? Ugh.
Yeah. By the way, Quentin Tarantino is bemoaning the marvelization of cinema.
Good.
Seriously?
I'm with him.
He's 100% correct in this clip.
Really? You think
he's going to win you over by the end of it. Yeah. I think he makes a really strong point.
He's saying that actors who star in comic book films are not movie stars. That's the premise of this?
Correct, yes.
So he's saying that basically Robert Downey Jr. and who else? These people are not movie stars?
His argument is that people aren't going to see Robert Downey Jr. They're going to see Iron Man.
True.
So like Iron Man's the celebrity, not Robert Downey Jr. Or in the case of like, I don't know, Superman. I don't even know the actor who plays Superman.
Henry Cavill.
Yeah. Like, no one's going to see him. They're going to see Superman.
Well, that's true. On that point, he's probably correct. All right, let's take a listen.
Name sells tickets now.
No, that's definitely the case.
Because there's like five real movie stars.
Yeah, that's definitely the case.
And you put like three of them. Like, they'll all do your movies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that's... No, I mean, that is one of the... and I'm not even putting them down, frankly, to tell you the truth. But that is one of the legacy of the marvelization of Hollywood movies.
Yeah.
Where it's...
you love these movies, these Marvel movies.
I don't love them. No, I don't love
I know.
Them. All right? I don't hate them, all right? But I don't love them. All right? I mean, look, I used to collect Marvel comics like crazy.
Sure.
when I was a kid. And so there's an aspect that if these movies were coming out when I was in my 20s, I would totally be f***ing happy and totally love them. I mean, they wouldn't be the only movies being made. They would be those movies amongst other movies. I'm almost 60. So yeah, no, I'm not quite as excited about them as.
Can I tell you the thing? I mean, for me, I don't have your level of knowledge of cinema, but as a film goer or somebody who likes movies, I mean, what's exciting about a movie is usually some element of surprise, right? And what you see, what I've seen in a lot of these films is that it is just a carbon copy essentially of the previous release. Like you're never taken somewhere you don't expect in the film.
Yeah, well, look, I'm not here to rag on those. Yeah, you know. So it's like, you know, I don't have any, my only axe to grind against them is they're the only things that seem to be made. And they're the only things that seem to generate any kind of excitement.
Right.
Amongst a fan base or just, or even like, for the studio making them. All right. That's what they're excited about.
True.
And, you know, so it's just the fact that, they are the entire representation of this era of movies right now.
Right.
And there's not really much room for anything else. Yeah. That's my problem.
And they do like $1 billion box offices.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, but that is literally my problem. It's a problem of representation.
Okay.
But to go back to your initial question, part of the Marvelization of Hollywood is, you have all these actors who have become famous playing these parts, characters. Yeah, yeah. They're not movie stars.
Right.
Captain America is the star.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he's not wrong, but I guess the thing about it, though, is put it to you this way. Without those Marvel movies and that sort of thing, theaters would have been closed a long time ago. I mean, the only reason to go to the movies is either Top Gun Maverick or one of these Marvel movies. You don't need to see the fish sex movie. What was that again?
The Shape of Water.
The Shape of Water. You don't need to see a guy fall in love with a fish in a big screen. You can stream that.
You don't need to see that on any
Actually, you don't
platform.
Need to see that ever. Right.
Terrible movie.
Right. And I think for Tarantino, as a guy who loves the movies, what he should respect is that in this day and age where it's not cheap to go to the movies and it's not cheap to take your family there, if you're not getting a big Hollywood spectacle, there's no reason to leave your home. I can stream, I can watch a movie that I don't, you know what I'm saying? I don't need the big screen and the speaker. You know what I'm saying? I can just do that at home. The only thing keeping these theaters in business are big blockbuster superhero movies and Tom Cruise. That's it.
I was kind of with Tom Segura on that part of just like, it's the same movie, rinse and repeat. Like Thor Love and Thunder, that was terrible.
I didn't even see it.
That was awful.
Well, the new Marvel movies are terrible, but I mean, think of how good the Batman movies were with Christian Bale. They were great movies, and I think that the most of the Marvel movies were good. There were a couple stink bombs in there, but I think overall they were really good. But there's an experience there in theaters. I've always said this, and I know people hate Hollywood, and the audience sometimes gets mad at me for this, but you do not want movie theaters in your neighborhood to go bankrupt because those are just going to be giant boxes sitting there not paying property taxes. And we already have a situation in this country where I don't know if you've noticed, but the malls are not doing well. Have you noticed this? Like, the days of hanging out at the mall and getting an Orange Julius with your denim jacket on are over. And kids don't even really do that stuff anymore. When I was a kid, I was a literal Jersey mall rat. But you think about the property tax appeals these malls are filing in their municipalities. The Morristown Mall, Priet, which is the parent company of the Morristown Mall, is filing a massive property tax appeal with Morristown, saying that they owe millions of dollars less than what they've been assessed because the mall is basically a shell of what it used to be. Who's paying that? The taxpayers are. So now if the movie theater at the Morristown Mall goes empty, you know what I mean? That's just one more gigantic, empty, big box that's going to be something that's not bringing in revenue anymore.
I mean, they turned the one in my town into a car dealership, so it could be salvaged.
It could, but a lot of them, there's already so much vacant real estate space since COVID that it would probably just sit there, sadly to say.
I love movie theaters. I would be genuinely bummed if they disappeared.
I would too.
If for no other reason than just the high quality popcorn they offer.
Well, I've perfected that at home.
I don't believe you. You've told me this before, but I don't believe you. There's no way you can replicate movie theater popcorn. It's like its own special
entity.
Can't
be that hard.
No, it's there's something magical going on.
They're not
on.
Doing anything. No.
No, there's
can
magic
you two,
in
can
the
you
air.
Two, stop. I'll tell you the answer. You want to know the answer?
Yes.
Coconut oil.
Yeah, I believe it.
Coconut oil is the reason why you get the buttery flavor. It's fantastic.
Coconut oil?
Yes.
I've never tasted like
coconut oil, popcorn, and salt is the magic. There's your sauce right there. There's your secret recipe.
I'll give it a shot.
You can thank me later for it, all right?
I'll give it a shot, but I don't believe. I think there's magic in the air.
These 15-year-olds behind the counter aren't waving a magic wand over the popcorn machine. They're just hitting go, and then they get a bag and they give it to you.
Let's hope they don't wave anything else over the popcorn machine. All right, Henry? Let's hope for that. All right, 855-839-1210. By the way, red meat is not a health risk. You've been lied to again, shocking, by the big heart industry. They've been lying to you about red meat. It's not a health risk. I'll tell you about that. Plus, what's going to happen with President Trump's tax returns? Excuse me, former President Trump. The Democrats are going to get them. What are they going to do with them? And I'll tell you why it is that these never-ending investigations are only helping him. Don't go away.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All right, so the breaking news today on the show. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it. On Twitter at Rich Scioli. Tomorrow night, by the way, I will be in for Mark Levin, the great one. So I will be live with you from 3 p.m. until 9 p.m. tomorrow. So it'll be a six-hour marathon, a mega, mega, megathon. Earlier today, Kevin McCarthy, the incoming Speaker of the House of Representatives, has called on Alejandro Mayorkas, the DHS Secretary, to resign by the first or third of the year, I should say, January 3rd. We have the audio of that. Take a listen.
Is there a timeline for Mayorkas to resign?
January 3rd. When we take power, we'll start the investigation. We'll look at every order. We'll look at every means of what he has done. He has lied to the American public. this investigation could lead to an impeachment inquiry.
Is there...
How about that? You see, that could lead to an impeachment inquiry because the border is not secure. And also, too, because of all of the Department of Homeland Security acting as the Illuminati, essentially, and deciding what information is allowed to be pushed out there and then censoring information and working with the social media companies as well. And look, even Arizona Democrat Senator Mark Kelly said it's not even close when he was asked if the National Democratic Party understands the crisis on the southern border. He said, not even close. He said, when I first got to Washington, it didn't take me long to realize there are a lot of Democrats who don't understand our southern border and a lot of Republicans who just want to talk about it, don't necessarily want to do anything about it, just use it politically. But he points out the fact that Democrats have no clue and they're not interested in doing anything about this. You know, the other point, too, that I want to mention is in addition to the Department of Homeland Security, and this was a big deal, too, calling on him to resign today. And he won't, of course. He'll dig his heels in. But calling on him to resign is an important point because Mayorkas has been not only the face of all this, he's been the guy denying that there was a problem in the first place. He's been the guy out there denying that there's been anything that's gone wrong at the southern border. So I'm glad they're going after him today, and I hope that they will go after him and they will really hold him accountable. That would be a very, very good thing. Senator Ted Cruz bashed Merrick Garland over the special counsel, accusing him of acting out of grievance over not getting appointed to the Supreme Court. We have this. He was on the Verdict podcast with Ben Ferguson. Take a listen.
The FBI should not be influencing elections. The DOJ should not be influencing elections. And Merrick Garland is the most corrupt attorney general we've ever seen in terms of being willing to corrupt the Department of Justice and FBI and use them as political weapons. And the fact that his response, Donald Trump announced for president, okay, I'm appointing a special prosecutor. We're going to indict you. That's politics. It's not justice. I think it's a combination of things. I don't know Merrick Garland. I've met him a couple of times, but I don't know him very well personally. I think he's a weak man. I think he's unwilling to stand up to the partisan hacks in the White House.
So you think it's more of a top-down thing?
I think the White House is the corruption, the fish rots from the head. It is the Biden White House that is fundamentally corrupt. But I do think Merrick Garland is different from an Eric Holder or a Loretta Lynch, who were deep partisans. I actually think Garland justifies to himself what he's doing. I think he believes he's not being partisan.
Wow.
I think he's drunk the Kool-Aid so much that he's someone who's very self-righteous. And does he have a grievance because he was denied the Supreme Court? Yes. Are his feelings hurt deeply? I'm sure, although I'm not an armchair psychologist, even though we're sitting in armchairs. I don't know. I ain't a shrink. But my sense of it, you look at something like something we've discussed at great length, using the FBI to target parents who speak up at school boards. I think the Biden White House told him to do it, and he just was happy to roll over, and he justified to himself, well, it's just fine. I'm just asking them to investigate, and you know, there's nothing about that. I think he is fundamentally a weak man. Who
will not push back against anything the White House demands.
And you got to understand, it's not just the AG. There are all these hard partisans that are burrowed into senior positions of the Department of Justice, senior positions at the FBI, who are driving partisan outcomes. And I think Merrick Garland is all too happy to comply.
Yeah, he's right on that point. By the way, we have another clip for you from the press conference that was held today. This is a congressman. I didn't see this one before. My apologies. August Pfluger, who was talking down at the border today, along with Kevin McCarthy and some of the other Republicans. And this is what he had to say. Take a listen.
The system was indeed flashing red, and it still is. And yet Secretary Mayorkas is mocking us. Last week, as a member of the Committee on Homeland Security, I personally asked Secretary Mayorkas if the border was secure. And he laughed. He laughed at me and he laughed at others on the committee and asserted that the border was secure, that we had operational control of the border, which is completely false. We have talked to dozens of Border Patrol agents today, just today, and hundreds others over the past 2 years. Not a single agent today has claimed that the border is secure. In fact, they say it is the most open that it has been in their entire career. They say that they don't feel appreciated or valued by their own leadership, that they come to work and they ask themselves, why am I coming back to work only to be unappreciated, not given the resources, and not allowed to do their jobs? We were mocked by the Secretary of Homeland Security when asking questions about how to secure our homeland. Mr. Secretary, we have one message for you. You need to resign. You need to allow these good men and women of the Border Patrol to do their jobs that they so desperately want to do. You and the President have abandoned Texans, you have abandoned Americans, and you have certainly abandoned the hardworking men and women of the United States Border Patrol.
Good for him. It'll be a beautiful thing to see that clown impeached by the House of Representatives. No question about it. 855-839-1210. Let me also mention, too, that the horrible shooting in Colorado is already, without even knowing the motive of the suspect, it's already being blamed on Republicans. Today, New York's crackpot governor, Kathy Hochul, signed a hate crime law, and she did it because of white supremacists and Republican extremists and blah, blah, blah. We don't know anything yet about the motive of the guy in Colorado, but the media does what they always do. They jump all over it and they scream guns and they scream right-wing extremism. We don't know anything behind this yet, but here's NBC's Ben Collins, who was on NBC this morning. Republicans attacking transgender people. So what they do is they'll talk about, for example, if you are critical of, you know, the story I shared with you yesterday, the woman who's detransitioning and she got her boobies chopped off. She got a double mastectomy and she regrets it. And she's now suing over that. You talk about that story, you're actually then encouraging some guy to go into a gay nightclub and kill people. And that's obviously the last thing I want or you want. You want to protect your children from these people who are preying on them to mutilate their bodies. But this is what the left does. They twist things and the media does it with them as well, obviously. Cut four.
Am I doing something wrong here? Here are some headlines that I wrote the last 6 months. Fueled by internet's far-right machine, anti-LGBTQ threats shut down trans rights and drag events. Remember, there was a drag event happening in Colorado. Yeah. Anti-trans stalkers at Kiwi Farms, which is a anti-trans website that stalks people, are chasing one victim around the world. Their list of targets is growing. That was a couple months ago. Doctors under threat from far-right activists for providing trans care. Boston Children's Hospital faces bomb threat after right-wing harassment campaign. There were three of those bomb threats. FBI charges Massachusetts woman with Boston Children's Hospital bomb threat, so they found one of the people. At least 20 Republican politicians have claimed that schools are making accommodations for students who identify as cats. That was before the midterms. Here are three more from my colleagues in the last 3 weeks. As election nears, some conservative groups have ramped up anti-trans campaign ads. Far-right figures appear to be testing Twitter's boundaries for anti-LGBTQ speech. GOP senator targets TikTok influencer with anti-transgender taunts. And I'm just wondering.
Well, you get the point. You get the point. I mean, that's it, right? It's all these things. That's the blame for the Colorado gay club killings. And of course, nothing could be further from the truth, but this is what they want to do because they want to shut down debate over the subject. For example, they want to shut down debate over this. Here is the from CHOP right here in Philadelphia, Dr. Sarah Wood of Policy Lab CHOP, who says advocacy is needed in, and this is again, hat tip to our great friend, Megan Eileen, who got a shout out last night from Tucker Carlson, by the way, all these great videos that she exposes here. How they have to expand the idea of what it means to be a parent to being a trusted adult so that minors can get an abortion. Cut number three.
So here in Pennsylvania, we're in a parental notification state, which means that minor adolescents who are seeking abortion services either need to notify a parent or go through a process called judicial bypass, which requires a teen going before a judge. So one of the things that I think a lot about is, you know, when you're sitting in a state where there are specific restrictive laws that affect adolescents While, yes, it's important, we need to advocate to potentially have those laws repealed as the ideal state. Given that the laws are in place right now, what other advocacy can we do? So whether that's, creating throughout the state a designated navigator process to help teens who need to go through that judicial bypass procedure because they really may face physical, emotional, financial harm if their parent figure is involved. So smoothing that process. And then secondly, expanding this idea of a parent to being a trusted or supported adult so that it's not a tie of biology, but you may have someone else you identify as an adult caregiver who can support them.
Somebody else who might identify as a caregiver, because obviously, they have to have a workaround from the parents who may not want the minor to get an abortion. So if I bring up stuff like that, or I bring up what they're doing with kids, or I talk about how, yes, there are schools that accommodate students who identify as cats, that led to the guy shooting up the Colorado nightclub. That and guns. So right-wing rhetoric and guns. You see what the media does? It's shameful and disgraceful. And then, and when we come back, I'm going to share with you what New York's Governor Kathy Hochul did today as well, because they love to grandstand and politicize these awful, awful events. They love to use them politically and never let a crisis go to waste. But before I do that, let's do this.
Now, afternoon.
Mystery movie clip, WPHT.
Before I ever ran a casino or got myself blown up, Ace Rothstein was a hell of a handicapper. I can tell you that. I was so good that whenever I bet, I could change the odds for every bookmaker in the country. I'm serious. I had it down so cold that I was given paradise on earth. I was given one of the biggest casinos in Las Vegas to run, the Tangiers, by the only kind of guys that can actually get you that kind of money, $62,700,000. I don't know all the details.
Matter of fact, nobody knew all the details.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
All right, Matt DeSantis, tell them what they'll win.
All right, if you're calling number 12 and you know the name of that movie, you'll win a Black Adam digital movie download. Nearly 5,000 years after being bestowed with powers of gods, and then immediately imprisoned, Black Adam is now free to unleash his unique justice on the world. Own Black Adam now on digital.
All right, good luck, car number 12. And let me tell you, my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding understand how complicated things are from a financial point right now. Prices for everything have skyrocketed. Interest rates are rising. Inflation's out of hand. So what can you do if you need a major repair like a new roof, windows, or siding? You can't wait. Winter's right around the corner. Well, thanks to my friends Stephanie and Matt and the team at Emmons Roofing and Siding, you don't have to wait. Right now, Emmons is offering each and every one of my listeners an inflation relief discount of 10% off roofing, siding, and Anderson window replacement. And because Stephanie and Matt know that times are tough, they are continuing to offer all of my listeners 12 months same as cash financing. That's 12 months to pay to give yourself peace of mind. So if you're in the market for a new roof, roof repairs, siding, or Anderson windows, give Emmons a call today for a free estimate at 856-885-6677. That's 856-885-6677 or emmonsroofing.com. Take advantage of their inflation relief discount and 12 months same as cash financing to pay for it. Do it today. Emmons is a company that I use and trust at my home, and you should use them and trust them as well at yours. 10% off plus 12 months same as cash to pay with my great friends and the people I trust with my home, emmonsroofing.com.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
All right, it is Tuesday of Thanksgiving week. Tomorrow will be a fun day, as I'll be in for Mark Levin and this show as well. And then off the rest of the week for Thanksgiving and the day after Thanksgiving. So we'll have a lot of fun together between now and then. Today is an abbreviated show, so we're done at 6:30 today. So just keep that in mind. Gina has our movie today. Gina's in Lafayette Hill. Hello, Gina.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well. What's the movie?
I Know That Angry Little Turd's Voice Anywhere. It's Casino.
There you go. Yes, that's the angry little turd, Robert De Niro. Well done.
Yes.
All right, Gina. Well, congratulations, and thanks for getting the movie right.
Thank you so much. Have a good Thanksgiving.
All right, you too. Happy Thanksgiving, Gina. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210. There are times when I really love what Bill Maher has to say, and this is no exception. When Bill Maher was discussing woke academia, and I think it's great because it's very similar to what we've talked about before. It's like the woke classrooms of America. I have another story here. University of Florida College of Medicine pushes a destructive woke agenda on students. According to a report that came out from Do No Harm, a group of medical workers against divisive racial policies in medicine, explains that the college uses equity initiatives to train a new generation of anti-racists in medical fields, two terms at the core of critical race theory. Those initiatives include active recruitment of underrepresented groups, suggested readings on diversity and equity for aspiring students, and a code of ethics that explains how to address implicit bias. The College of Medicine is indoctrinating its medical school graduates in divisive philosophies and other forms of social justice activism, which begins from the moment a prospective student begins exploring the college, continues through the admissions process, and persists through the doctoral program. And this is not the only college that's doing it, even though the University of Florida spent $2.1 million last year on diversity initiatives, according to the report. Yale and Harvard unrank themselves. Yale Law School and Harvard Law School unrank themselves ahead of a Supreme Court ruling on the use of race admissions in schools. At the University of Chicago, it's much ado about whiteness. The school's free speech principles compel it to allow a controversial course on whiteness, but as a bad idea, the class should be abandoned thereafter, according to National Review. The Problem of Whiteness, designed by Professor Rebecca Journey and first offered last winter. When she relisted the course for the upcoming academic quarter, a University of Chicago student denounced her plans, engendering a string of death threats and harassment against her online. Though the university expressed support for the professor in a public statement, the professor voluntarily delayed the seminar, citing the need for more time to implement appropriate safety measures. The Problem of Whiteness is a despicable course by all appearances, offered as part of the Critical Race and Ethnic Studies program. The class blames whiteness not only for the consolidation of wealth, power, and property, but for environmental health hazards. Whiteness, the course catalog's description assures us, possesses world-making effects, a turn of phrase as radical as anything in the work of Ibram X. Kendi and other contemporary race grifters. And then Leiden University removes the work of a famed Dutch artist due to the depiction of only white males. A painting from the renowned contemporary Dutch painter Rein Doel has been removed from a wall at Leiden University in the Netherlands after the objection that it depicts only white men. Political science PhD candidate Elma Zonina said that the painting of white men smoking cigars made her feel uncomfortable. According to Dutch News, Zonina insisted that the school needed to add an ironic or critical note with such a painting. In the meantime, the school is now turned toward the wall to avoid harming or offending anyone else at the school. And then we have Princeton University, which is now threatening to take down a bust of one of its founders at the college. All of this wokeness at America's colleges leads people to graduate and then eventually join the ranks of corporate America, and then go into the military as well, where I have another report. Woke leadership is gutting the United States military through diversity, equity, and inclusion, and trans policies, according to a report that was from Chip Roy of Texas and Marco Rubio of Florida. They found the impact of DEI and LGBT initiatives on the U.S. military. It's an 18-page report which takes shots at some of the top leaders in the U.S. military, such as General Mark Milley, and says that poor leadership is distorting the military's purpose because of all of the wokeness involved with the military. Here's what Bill Maher had to say regarding what's happening on college campuses.
I think when historians look back at our time, they will not divide us into red and blue and Republican, Democrat. They're like, the things that were wrong with us were wrong with both sides in different ways. I do think they manifest in a more dangerous way on the right. But on the left, there is a rot.
and it comes from academia. And
I agree.
And it filters down. Am I wrong about that? That's where it's all coming from.
We have certain institutions in our society that you can call them epistemic institutions, which just means knowledge generating. And the academy is the premier one, the medical establishment, the courts are another. And these only work if you have viewpoint diversity. They only work if I say something and then people are going to challenge me. Because when everyone's on the same side, someone says something crazy like, how about if we stop punishing people? And other people are afraid to object because that would seem to put you against a certain
ability.
That's right.
Groupthink.
Yeah.
And
group.
When that happens, what we get is what I think we can call structural stupidity.
Right.
That is, you get...
Yes. You see it all the time.
You get really smart people, but you put them together and they can't think straight. And they say stupid things from the left that just play really well on libs of TikTok and give the right wing lots of ammunition.
And you get onion headlines as policy.
That's right. Exactly. That's it.
All right. So there is a rot that begins in college campuses, no question about it. Here is the NBC News report about Harvard and Yale withdrawing from the U.S. News Law School ranking system. Cut number 9.
Well, Yale is number 1 and Harvard is number 3 or 4. And this, again, is law school rankings. Remember, there are rankings for engineering schools, undergraduate schools, business schools. And to some extent, this is the gold standard. Families, students pay a lot of attention to U.S. News and what they have to say ranking schools because it makes it somewhat simplifies things. But Yale and Harvard are making a statement of principle. They're saying that the whole process is fundamentally flawed because it essentially pays too much attention to what you might think of as traditional metrics. When they're looking at law school students, students who have high GPAs, students who do well on the LSATs, the entrance exams, students who basically do well in the law school and get a good high-paying job at the end with no debt. However, Yale is saying, and Harvard as well, that their mission and their obligation to the law profession and to their colleges, their universities, is to find other kinds of students who are diverse, who perhaps need financial aid, students who perhaps don't score as high in traditional metrics, and that they say that the U.S. News rankings don't value that type of student. They also, Yale and Harvard say, are trying to direct a lot of their students to public service, to public interest law. And they're saying that the U.S. News rankings also don't value that. That's why they're opting out.
Before I get to the next hour of the show today, and they might be doing this, by the way, in advance of the Supreme Court's ruling, which is going to strike down their race-based admissions, which is a good thing, and that will be victory in the United States Supreme Court. Asanto Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease doctor, you always have to say that by law. Actually, before I get to that, let me just tie a bow on this woke stuff. The question that was asked today is, did Disney's woke agenda cause the CEO to be shoved out, Bob Chapek, as CEO on Sunday? And the answer seems to be yes. And this is a win for Governor Ron DeSantis. Remember, he battled Disney over the Don't Say Gay bill. And when he took away their status of this Reddy Creek or whatever it was, improvement district, people said, oh, you're punishing a private company. No, he wasn't. What he was doing at the time, as I explained it, was this company had special privileges that other companies didn't have. This company chose to engage in politics. This company chose to use its outsized interest to lie and tell people what was in the bill that was not in the bill. It chose to take a stance and it helped spread the lie about the bill. And DeSantis' point was, look, if you're going to be political here, then you're not going to get any special privileges. You're going to be like everybody else. And there's no reason why you should be your own quasi-government within the confines of the state of Florida. People said, oh, that was so vindictive. But Disney has gone woke in a lot of different ways. The most recent the movie Lightyear that came out a couple years ago, or actually last year, which was terrible, and they've lost a lot of money. But Disney's very public stance against Florida's law drew attention to Disney's silence on human rights atrocities in China, where the company is heavily invested. The National Legal and Policy Center, an activist shareholder, even accused Disney at its annual meeting of complicity in China genocide. So they say that Disney and Bob Chapek as a CEO absolutely botched the situation in Florida, made several missteps. He was also partly a victim of some major headwinds, but there was a couple of things that went wrong. But Disney doubled down on things like vaccine requirements for their visitors and for their employees. Disney also was all in, of course, on all of the environmental, social, and governance initiatives. And all of this, and the woke movies, and losing a lot of money. And then I think their fourth phase of the Marvel movies, which have just been atrocious, this phase four, I think it all catches up. The best thing Disney could do would just be to stay out of being woke. But they can't help themselves, and they probably won't. So today, Dr. Fauci gave it up, although it's not over for him, because the Republicans are going to call him to testify before their committee, investigating him for what he knew about gain-of-function research, his role in gain-of-function research, and the origins of COVID-19. Fauci said he has no problem testifying. Cut 18.
All right, thank you, Dr. Fauci. How are you preparing for the likely aggressive oversight from House Republicans, the new majority next year that they've been promising on some of these?
Hold on one second. Dr. Jha is going to stay to take a couple more questions, but Dr. Fauci actually has to go. Yeah. So thank you so much, Dr. Fauci.
Thank you. I can answer his question.
You want to answer it?
Yeah.
He says I'll answer it. Okay.
I'm a good
guy. I'm just trying to keep him on time.
The answer is, if there are oversight hearings, I absolutely will cooperate fully and testify before the Congress if asked. You may not know, but I've testified before the Congress a few hundred times, okay, over the last 40 years or so. So I have no trouble testifying. We can defend and explain and stand by everything that we've said. So I have nothing to hide.
Now, Mike Pence, and this has not made a lot of news. Every time Pence goes after Trump, obviously, it makes big news. But he actually bashed Fauci over his COVID-19 response. And he talked to Chuck Todd about this on Meet the Depressed on Sunday. Cut number 10.
I think in the early days of the coronavirus task force, Dr. Fauci was a great source of comfort to millions of Americans. He had an easygoing bedside manner that he communicated at the podium. And as I said, we always had a good rapport in those days, because Dr. Fauci, in my time leading the task force, always stayed in his lane. He was always the first one to say, I'm the scientist at the table. I'm going to tell you what the scientific perspective is. But he would almost invariably say, I know the president and you have a lot more to consider than just that. Mm-hmm. You have to think of the broader impact on the American public and on the country as a whole. And so, for me in those early days, he made an enormous difference in the development of a very balanced policy, empowering states, igniting the entrepreneurial spirit of companies around the country to develop the supplies, the masks, to ultimately the medicines and the vaccines in record time. But I must tell you that when the Biden administration came in and essentially turned over the management of COVID to Dr. Fauci, I was not surprised to see them put all of their emphasis on vaccines, and then after having promised that they would not mandate vaccines, then seeking to mandate vaccines on Americans. That's still a mandate on healthcare workers and military personnel today. That was the doctor approach, and I think when President Biden came in and essentially empowered Dr. Fauci, I think the American people, I think they recoiled at that approach, and sadly, the Biden administration lost more Americans in their first year with COVID than we did in our first year, a year where we had none of the tools, few supplies, no testing, ultimately no medicines until the end.
In the next hour, I'm going to get into what happened at the White House press briefing today with White House fembot Karine Jean-Pierre. So stay tuned for that. But I want to tell you why I go to see my buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, along with my wife, my children, and my parents. We all trust Dr. Veneria and his award-winning team. They have been voted best dentist in South Jersey for 9 consecutive years. His office is unique in that they treat your needs, not driven by money or costs. And Dr. Veneria has excelled in implants throughout his career. Patients travel from as far as California and Florida for his care and expertise. He understands patients have a choice, a clear choice to make when choosing implants. That's why his treatment is precise, efficient, and yields excellent results at a significant savings from the national chain offices. He has earned the confidence of other doctors to be their doctor, like my buddy Dr. Maz. We all have a choice when choosing our doctors, so see why Dr. Mike Veneria is your best choice. Call him today to schedule for all your family's dental needs. He will exceed your expectations. I've experienced his expertise personally. Locations are right over the bridge in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, 856-786-2020 or VeneriaDental.com. Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.